You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Well, here we are, October the 7th, 2021. My gosh, this year is flying by. Would you agree? And it's just going to get faster. It's going to get faster. I know my parents would always say, this year is going by so fast. And as a kid, you think, no, it's not. Same number of days in the year, same number of hours in each day. The only thing that goes by fast is the holidays and summer vacation. And everything else takes forever, such as getting to your birthday, things of that nature, that possibility. But October the 7th. Now, this story is one of these that I'm going to try to take a moment to spend some time with my guest coming up later in this hour. It was not on our schedule, but I want to ask him some quick points on it. There's a report that is out, first reported by the Wall Street Journal. A contingent of U.S. Special Operations and Marine Forces have been secretly operating out of Taiwan. They've been working to train the Taiwanese military, trying to shore up the Indo-Pacific nation's defenses, expecting that China might try something sometime soon. Now, this news comes just days after a record number of Chinese military planes have entered Taiwan's air defense zone. 150 fighter jets and bombers into that defense zone over the last 4 days. Of course, according to China, we did nothing wrong. It's our territory, and do we want? You have to look at what we're doing in training the Taiwanese. Somebody's got some intel that says things are going to ratchet up in a hurry. Pfizer announcing today it's applied to the FDA. They want to approve its vaccine for children all the way to age 5. At this time, there is no coronavirus vaccine approved for any children younger than 12. The FDA Advisory Committee is the one looking at this, and they're going to discuss Pfizer's application October 26 to lower the age below 12, cover 5 and 11-year-olds. They are saying the kids' dosage has proved safe, similar, fewer temporary side effects than some of the teenagers have had. And they add that generally children do not get severely ill with COVID-19 as much as older people do, which makes you say, well, why the hell are we worried about it? Fauci, Dr. Fauci, is already predicting all kids will have vaccines probably by Halloween. Trick or jab, both. I'm not so sure about that. We just do not have long range. And I feel for you parents trying to decide, what do I do about my child? You make sure you consult with your doctor, get the best information you can, please. But let me tell you something else that's happening with this COVID concern and vaccination or no vaccination. There is a Colorado woman. She's in dire need of a new kidney. She's trying to get a new kidney. She went to UCH Health, and she is being denied. She had a willing donor that she met at a Bible study 10 months ago. Both women want to go through with the operation, but the hospital says, no, I don't think so. We're not going to do this, University of Colorado Hospital. We're not going to do it because neither one of these women have had the COVID vaccine. They're going to deny them possible life-saving surgery for this one because the hospital decides you don't have the vaccine, so we're not going to do it. Oh, by the way, Joe Biden's border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas, should resign, according to his policies causing so much chaos. Some Republican governors said that in Texas. I agree. In fact, I just say, don't make him resign. Send all the illegals to his house. Let them live there for a while. He'll resign on his own. And Joe Biden, Rasmussen survey says he's doing a poor job. Oh, and I buried the headline. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rated the least popular leader in Congress.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. When I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
To be clear, we've spoken to the arrangement that is run by the Gallerist and Hunter Biden's representatives that the White House provided suggestions for. I'd refer you to the Gallerist for questions about the event and as well as the representatives of Mr. Garcetti in terms of his attendance.
Just to follow up, this is exactly what ethicists said they were worried about.
What is specifically?
The fact that the president's son...
That he reportedly attended an event?
Well, the president's son would be selling artwork and then meeting potentially with people who would seek to buy it. If you have attendees at that event who might be seeking either jobs in this administration or favors from this administration, isn't it an awkward situation to put the president in?
Again, the Gallerist has spoken to, we've spoken to the specifics, what the Gallerist has agreed to, and what recommendations were made. I've done that several times. I don't have additional details for it from here. I point you to them. Go ahead.
So does this White House not have any concerns about the photos that have emerged of showing Hunter Biden at that gallery alongside prospective buyers?
I point you to the Gallerist on specifics of the restrictions that were put in place.
Great. But what about the position of this White House? This is a president who ran on being transparent, and
We were very transparent about what recommendations were made to the Gallerist, and I would again point to them or the many times I've spoken about that from here.
Yeah, and then I'm done. Kiss it off. Goodbye. Jen Psaki. Actually being questioned by members of the White House press corps about Hunter Biden and his art show and all of his great artwork. Have you seen some of these pictures? It's hard for me on radio to properly describe them other than mediocre, trash, something a third grader could do, something you could spill a bunch of paint on a floor and let an elephant walk through and then onto a canvas and be similar? Am I too harsh? Maybe so. Because some folks are willing to pay millions of dollars. But they don't want their name associated. Now, why would that be? Is that because they're really buying the artwork? Or they're trying to buy access to Hunter and Hunter's daddy? Daddy, Papa Joe. That's been the whole deal between the Bidens and the Clintons forever. And I'm not going to deny that Republicans have done the same. But, I mean, these guys are just so blatant, right in your face. Yeah, we're doing it. What about it? So, again, the question came up about Hunter Biden meeting and taking photos with potential art buyers at the Los Angeles art show featuring some of his art. Guests at the show, including Sugar Ray Leonard, British performance artist Millie Brown. You don't know Millie Brown? Yeah, don't worry about it. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti attended, awaiting Senate confirmation after Biden nominated him to serve as U.S. ambassador to India. isn't that a great little thing? What if he bought something? Said, "Do you have anything in the Indian genre that I can take with me?" And the paintings are priced between $75,000 and $50,000. The White House has previously said the identities of those buying the artwork would remain secret from Biden and the White House. That's assuming Hunter Biden could keep his mouth shut, which I wouldn't count on. And you've got a lot of ethics experts obviously raising questions about this reported agreement about keeping these names silent. The Washington Post just reporting that White House officials helped draft a document stating the names of the purchasers will be kept confidential, including from Hunter Biden, President Biden's son. In other words, Hunter Biden won't even know. He could just get a check, but what? Made out to something else, to the, I guess, to the how was she describing him over and over all the, wasn't the exhibitions, however Sasky was describing him, saying he would be taking care of the gallery owner, that he will set the prices for the work, he will shield the names of the bidders and the purchasers, and he claims, according to the Washington Post, he will reject any offer he deems suspicious. Now, what does that mean? Any offer he deems suspicious. Would it because, let me see, if they had a Russian name, would that be suspicious? How about a Chinese name? What if it's being bought to be placed in the middle of a large Chinese company? I'm just asking. Walter Schaub, who led the Office of Government Ethics from 2013 to 2017, wrote, "So instead of disclosing who's paying outrageous sums for Hunter Biden's artwork so we could monitor whether the purchasers are gaining access to government, the White House tried to make sure we will never know who they are. That's very disappointing." He said, "We're supposed to trust a merchant in an industry that's fertile ground," and these are the words again of Walter Schaub, Office of Government Ethics from 2013 to 2017. This is his quote I'm reading. Here we go. Quote, "We're supposed to trust a merchant in an industry that is fertile ground for money laundering, as well as unknown buyers who could tell Hunter or White House officials, no thanks." Well, Biden is saying, "No, we're making this a prime example that I've established." Hunter Biden, not saying that, President Biden. I've established the highest ethical standards of any administration in American history. This is the same daddy who went over to Burisma when they had an investigator looking into Burisma funding and monies, and knowing that his son Joe was on that board, and Hunter was going to be a subject of an inquiry. And then later, Joe Biden joking with members of the Economic Council, I told those boys, hey, I'm going to leave on a flight here in about 30 minutes. Obama gave me permission to make a decision. You're either going to get $40 million or you're not. I want to get on that plane and I'll leave. And if you don't think Obama gave me that authority, you call him right now. Because in 30 minutes, I'm on that plane and I'm gone. And I will not leave that $40 million with you. If you don't get rid of the prosecutor that's looking into Burisma and my son. Oh, he didn't add that. He didn't have to add that. So some of this hard work, even CNN and NNN. Oh, God, this guy, he's such a wacko. His name is Chris Silizaza, whatever, I don't know. And he starts off his piece titled, which is an interesting title, Is Hunter Biden's Artwork Any Good? Well, of course, sometimes art is in the eye of the beholder. We all know that. I will grant you that there are some pieces of some famous artists, I look at it and think, I don't see much. You know, some of the Monet stuff is very nice. Some of the Renaissance paintings were very nice. And then there's various other pieces. I'm not that I'm an art major, but I can, you know, it's like I'm not a wine expert. I'm not a sommelier, but I can take a sip or a smell and say, oh, that's pretty good. If you give me whiskey, I'm much better, believe me. Anyway, Hunter Biden, according to this article, has been many things over his 51 years. But in the last few years, at least, he's been an artist. And he told the New York Times from his L.A. home and studio, for years I wouldn't call myself an artist. Now I feel comfortable saying it. He goes on to say, Hunter's art has of late received a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons. Some of the pieces are to go up for auction, and the White House has been forced to deal with ethics questions about people buying the artwork, for huge sums of money as a way to curry favor with President Joe Biden. And two sources familiar with the sales arrangement told CNN and NN that buyers will be anonymous and Hunter Biden will never have any knowledge of he even bid on the prices. So then the article continues by Silizaza of CNN and NN. Ethics questions aside, I was interested in something different. Is Hunter Biden's work any good? I reached out to the Pulitzer Prize-winning critic for the Washington Post to get his evaluation of Hunter Biden, the artist. And the answer, here's the question. Is Hunter Biden's work any good? The answer, four words. For me, not really. Boom. That's it. End of article. Oh, no, that's not the end of the, I'm sorry. They're going to spend several more lines explaining it. Now, he goes on to say, I'm only seeing it in reproduction, so I'm sure I'm missing a lot of texture, layering, detail. Parts of them look technically impressive. The style is eclectic in a way that makes it work feel neither one thing nor another. Most great artists, whatever style of art they make, they've been trying to make art all their lives. They're fully devoted to me to do what they do. To me, I love it. I mean, I have to give Chris credit for quoting the guy. First, is the work any good? For me, not really. Second, then he adds, while a lot of artists have been devoted to what they do, to me, Here's a quote. Biden seems a bit of a dabbler. Now, I'm thinking that if I use that word dabbler correctly, that when he was high on coke, he picked up some crayons and maybe a paintbrush and said, watch this. Stand back and watch this. So he goes on to say, if I were a museum creator, I would struggle to find compelling reasons to share it with the public. And then it's trying to build up Biden more. He said, well, how has the art world reacted to Hunter Biden, the artist, particularly given he has no formal training as such? Smee says, mostly a shoulder shrug. A few people probably sniffed the chance to make money from the notoriety. But the most part, people with influence in the art world are looking at his work and thinking, nothing much to see here. So when these folks buy these paintings for $75,000, $100,000 or more, and then we're never told who they are, why do you think they bought them? No, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's exactly why they bought them. Coming up, General Milley asked the other day, why don't you resign after the debacle in Afghanistan? That opens a big question, and that's still to come.
Resigning is a really serious thing. It's a political act if I'm resigning in protest. You know, my dad didn't get a choice to resign at Iwo Jima. And those kids that are at Abbey Gate, they don't get a choice to resign. And I'm not going to turn my back on them. I'm not going to resign. They can't resign, so I'm not going to resign. There's no way.
So there was General Miller the other day in front of the Senate committee when asked by Senator Cotton, why don't you just resign? Look at the way you screwed up. His words, not exactly that, but the context was certainly there. The way you messed up us getting out of Afghanistan. Well, I'm not going to resign. My dad at Iwo Jima didn't have a chance to resign. His father was among the Marines that went ashore at Iwo Jima. And, of course, those guys didn't have a chance to resign. And the Iwo Jima and, of course, the iconic picture that came out of that, with the U.S. flag being raised, that battle was a major battle between involving U.S. and the Navy. The Navy bombarding the island repeatedly. Finally, the Navy landing on it. The Marines landing, amphibious assault. And then making their way across. And it was truly the most deadly battle of the Marines during the war ever. Because his dad could not resign at that point, I'm sure there were a lot of guys, you know, saying their last prayers and here I am. I wish I could get out of here. And they're not going to resign, obviously. But this withdrawal from and resigning because you fouled up, and for him to say, well, that would be wrong. My dad couldn't resign, so I couldn't. Well, yeah, you could resign. Now, all of this is leading up to the issue with Marine Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, who went to the brig because he put on a statement on Facebook that he felt the officers should be accountable for what happened. And he was saying, basically, they should resign. And if you recall, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller's father, he said, when I watched that statement from General Milley saying, I won't resign, he said there was one word that came to mind.
Our son called for accountability. And throughout the hearing today, I don't feel like they accepted accountability. So I'm extremely disappointed. And it's no coincidence, in my opinion, that they put a gag order on him and they put him in prison the day before they had to appear in front of senators and tomorrow in front of congressmen. I think that is fairly an act of cowardice.
Cowardice. That's what he was trying to say. And he's right. Marines suffered 25,000 casualties, nearly 7,000 dead in the Battle of Iwo Jima. So General Milley said, my dad couldn't resign, so I wouldn't resign. Well, it's not even apples and oranges. A lot has happened in 75 years, and in this case, in this day of modern warfare, you had a lot of options to how you would handle leaving Afghanistan once the decision was made. Now, maybe they got locked in by the president, said, I want it out by that date, and if you're going to have that many number of troops available, then they felt they had no choice but to give up Bagram. But that's where the Lieutenant Colonel Mark Scheller went to video, and we'll have him when he comes back in the next part. After the break, you'll hear him. And then I want Lieutenant General retired Dakota Smith Wood to comment on it.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, my next guest. Glad to have him on board always. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, U.S. Marines. Semper Fi, sir. Glad to have you back again.
Semper Fi, always good to be with you. Thanks.
And, of course, he's also with the Heritage Foundation. And we had a topic we're going to get to in just a moment. That would be the issue of a court-martial, particularly Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. Mm-hmm. But before I get to that, sir, I'd like to get your take that this came out of the Wall Street Journal today, that a contingent of special ops and Marine forces have apparently been operating out of Taiwan as aggressive Chinese actions are beginning to escalate. So the U.S. forces have been working to train the Taiwanese military to shore up that island's defense. What's your take on that?
I think it's not a surprise. What will happen with news outlets is they kind of discover something that's been going on for a while, right, and then it makes a headline for a bit of time. So, the Marines and our special operations communities are very small units. It's not like major exercises, but you work with, you know, friends and partners, try to understand each other better, and set in place capabilities that you actually might need. So it's no surprise, no hidden thing, that China has been very, very aggressive. And the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979 made assurances that if China tried to take Taiwan by force, the U.S. would step in to keep that from happening. So this would be in concert with that agreement.
So by being there to that extent, is that the extent of the agreement? That we're there, we're doing some?
What?
And, I mean, almost like we got into Vietnam, they're only to advise and direct.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these, it's a strategic ambiguity that's intentional. So back in 79, we recognized a single China with Beijing as the government. But in that agreement was an assurance by mainland China that they wouldn't take Taiwan by force. On the U.S. side, we said, we're not going to tolerate that happening. You guys have to reconcile, you know, these two views of China, but without military force. Now, there isn't a formal signed alliance structure like we have with Japan or England or anything like that. And we do restrict the nature of weapons systems that we sell to Taiwan. So it's a case-by-case basis. But I think this military-to-military engagement does signal that China has been very, very aggressive. And in this diplomatic signaling game back and forth, this would be a message back to China that, you know, we are taking steps to make it clear that we're not going to make a military takeover by China easy.
Okay.
And so this would be those military actions to help that.
Okay, now I want to move to something we didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time on the other day. And, folks, I want to tell you, in my opinion, and my belief is, I count Dakota Wood as a friend. We've never had a chance to socialize or meet, but, you know, as a fellow Marine. But on top of that, this gentleman, this officer has College of Naval Command Staff, U.S. Naval War College, been a meritorious distinction Marine Corps School of Advanced War Fighting, 50 countries, 5 continents, numerous deployments. So I highly respect you. And I don't know if you and I are going to have a real difference of opinion on some of this, but part of this gets down to the some of it gets down to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which, as a Marine, I have to accept as well. And Article 32 is being applied against Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who was in the brig, apparently now has been released for this period of time. But Article 32 for the audience is in Article 88 would be contempt toward officials. And Article 90, willfully disobeying superior commissioner officer. That I would have to say, yeah, if you're going to disobey, you're going to face an issue. Article 92, failure to obey lawful general orders, and then another. Article 133, conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. Now, I fully agree and understand the UCMJ. I know that if you violate, you're in the military, you are going to face those. And you raised the issue the other day that, well, where are you going to stop? You're going to have the sergeant question the captain, say, well, we're not going to do it. That's not going to work. And at what point does it stop? So it has to be firm and hard. And yet at the same time, in this case, I have to ask, does it have to be that hard and firm?
Well, the more senior you get in rank, the higher the standard should be that you have to meet. So we would say that, you know, a very junior 19, 20-year-old enlisted member, you know, is going to behave as, you know, if you've been in for 17 years, as Lieutenant Colonel Scheller is, there is more expected of you, how you comport yourself, you know, what you say and in what circumstances, so that you're setting the example for others. And so I think there is a higher standard applied to officers in particular, the more senior you get in rank. So here we have this lieutenant colonel who goes on social media instead of as chain of command, makes extraordinary comments like we're going to burn the system down and we're going to railroad, you know, general officers out of the service and that they should be held accountable to me. You know, it's a very emotional sort of thing. And he was told to stop doing that. There were other mechanisms, and he disobeyed those directions or orders. So I think the Marine Corps is on very solid ground and also setting the example of what kind of behavior is tolerated and won't be tolerated amongst its officer corps.
All right, let me ask this.
And this particular officer, go ahead.
I apologize, sir. You outrank me, so I mean, at any point you say, shut up.
No, not that.
but the first things he did, you know, he did, and he was emotional and everything else. Then when he was told, don't do it again, and then he did it, well, then he certainly directly disobeyed. The first you could say that would amount to, I guess, the attitude of contempt toward officials. Well, we know we've had numerous military officials have contempt to this President Trump and others in the past, too, whether or not they became public and became Article 32 issues.
Right. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, especially during the Trump presidency, very tumultuous. And so how long do you let, you know, these breaches of good conduct and social media occur? And in the case of Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, it just became so egregious, especially in light of his own admission. If you watch his video saying, I know that I'm breaking rules, I know that this will likely result in further discipline, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? So this is willful disobedience.
And he said, I will wait for you to send me, come pick me up, take me to the brig. I mean, he was very open to that extent.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're admitting that what you're doing is wrong and you push forward anyway, and you're making the statement that this is so important to me, I am willing to suffer the consequences, well, then it kind of neutralizes the argument that you shouldn't suffer any consequences.
Well, what kind of consequences?
Both ways.
What kind of consequences are we talking about?
Well, I mean, as you know, if he is discharged under an honorable sort of way, right, that he's discharged under other than honorable conditions or something like that, he potentially he would lose his retirement benefits because he didn't make it to 20 years, and he would have a black mark on his record. So if he ever wanted to do anything else related to the government or holding a clearance, you know, that would be a huge mark against him. Now, clearly, he has a lot of public support. And it's because people are outraged at how the Afghanistan withdrawal occurred. And we should all be angry about that. But it's another step for a serving active duty lieutenant colonel to say that he is going to try to prefer charges against General McKenzie, right, when he has no idea what the commander of U.S. Central Command did or said in private consultations with the President of the United States, right? So McKenzie provides his best advice, they execute the operation they're told to do, and we, you know, it kind of begs the question of how does Scheller feel that he should be inserting himself into that discussion.
So two quick things. One, he could serve brig time, actual additional time, in addition to being discharged.
It's a possibility, but I don't think anybody wins from that. I don't think the Marine Corps is looking for that.
If he does, does the president have a pardon over some in the U.S. military code?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
the president's commander in chief has the opportunity or the legal right to make a full pardon. You know, just as we've seen other presidents do in the past.
In the last minute or so, what if he had said, I'm resigning, and then he went to the YouTube and said, this is why I'm resigning, and what happens then?
Well, once he had separated from service as a private citizen, he could say anything he wanted to.
Okay.
But when he appears on camera in uniform with all of his ribbons, he is trying to carry the weight of his office in a way that actually brings dishonor on the rights and responsibilities that he's been given as part of that rank.
I'm going to have to ask you one other question, and that is very quickly. I mean, I hear you, and I agree with you on UCMJ, but personally, where do you stand, or can you allow yourself personally?
Well, no, I mean, I've retired a long time ago. I think we should all be outraged at how the Biden administration handled it.
All right.
I think how Scheller handled it was also inappropriate, and he willingly put himself, you know, in the crosshairs of the UCMJ, and if he's got honor in it.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, I apologize. I put you on a spot there, and we didn't get a chance to get a full response. So let me ask the question again and give you a little bit more time on it. I hear what you're saying as an officer on the UCMJ and as a Marine. I understand that as well. But you personally, where are your thoughts?
I am sympathetic to his outrage or his anger and a desire for accountability. I think all Americans are angry and at how the Afghanistan withdrawal was handled by the Biden administration, you know, leaving Americans behind enemy lines and on and on and on. So the outrage is understandable. The question then is, if you hold a certain rank and you have wanted to volunteer to serve in a certain capacity, then you have to have the discipline, both control of your emotions and how you convey those emotions in these kind of settings, right? So with Lieutenant Colonel Shell, yes, understandable outrage, but how he expressed himself wearing a uniform on social media, right, was just completely inappropriate. And again, I go back to his own admission to the risk that he was running and how he was violating the accepted protocols for officers. He can't have it both ways. So if he's going to take that step, he also has to be willing to take the lumps, but then not use that then to say, because I'm willing to take the discipline, that discipline shouldn't be meted out to me, right? So I'm not looking for any kind of financial reward from this. Oh, by the way, I've set up a GoFundMe page so that, you know, people supporting me can provide money to my family. So it sounds like he's wanting to have it both ways. And I think, you know, in an honorable execution of his profession, he should not be doing that.
All right. I wanted to make sure you had plenty of time to explain it in your opinion. And yet I still hear in your voice that we don't like what happened with Afghanistan, but this is not the way to deal with it. I want to thank you as always, sir. We'll do it again.
A great pleasure. Thanks. Thanks so much for being such a great host.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir. Semper Fi. So I have a piece here in front of me that says that maybe comedy, even leftist comedy, is changing. This is very interesting. I want you to hear the words of Bill Maher.
For the first time in my life, I am playing to a mixed audience. I was in Nashville about a month ago, and the audience was about 60-40, I would say, liberal to conservative. That never used to happen. Never. And I think it's because, you know, 10 years ago, in my opinion anyway, the left did not have a crazy section. There was no such thing as woke. And now they do have a crazy section, which I call out as a liberal. And I think I'm kind of one of the only people doing that. So there's a hunger to hear that.
There is a hunger to hear that. And that's Bill Maher acknowledging that, yeah, nowadays we don't have a the left didn't have a crazy section. Now we do. The woke section. I think he's right. He went on to say, when somebody just hates the other person, you don't even listen to what they say. You won't even entertain what their point is. As long as we're in this place where I just hate this other side, nothing's going to change them. Kill them is not the answer I'm looking for. And it's not the answer that should be coming out of a liberal's mouth. That's where we are. And certainly, of course, kill them is an idea that's very prominent on the right for a lot of the people they don't like. We'd step back from that. Well, I don't fully agree with him from that. Let me give you something else I don't agree with. A question raised, have we lost the meaning of American pride? This was a piece written for the Bismarck Tribune, Dan Ulmer. And he's talking about American pride, how good it is, and so forth. But he said there's a problem of pride. He said, Christians believe that pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Yes, you're right about that. But you can still have pride. It's when you put pride above God is the difference. But he goes on to say, yes, and I'm not a theologian. You can talk to your pastor or your priest about that. He said, yes, there are certain things about pride. You complete a goal. You watch someone overcome an adversity. He said, Ben Franklin told us, in reality, there is no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. is for even as I conceive it, I had completely overcome it. I should likely be proud about my humility. St. Augustine said that pride is the love of one's excellence. Well, I'm proud of my program. Yeah, I am. I'm proud of our excellence. I'm proud of the work Quentin does in helping make this program success it is. I am. I don't put either one of us in our pride above God. But the other thing that pride comes, and Mar also deals with this also, that too many of us have a problem with nationalistic pride. I say too many, the wrong people. And so does this article go on to point out. This is not Mar again. This is the author that wrote for Bismarck Publicist. He said, I celebrate my good fortune in being born a citizen of the U.S. of America. I'm humbled to be so lucky, yet I'm worried our pride may be leading toward a nasty fall. We've been convinced our nation is the greatest nation ever. Yes, we are a beacon on the hill. And for all the things and sins we've done, the Haitians coming to our border, much less the other illegals, do you think the Haitians would come here if they think they would be assaulted because they're black? Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.